Good morning, and thank you for joining us today for the Word for Life radio ministry. Last time we were together, we were talking about preventing depression. But yeah, we were talking about Elijah's brook drying up in 1 Kings chapter 17, and it'd be very easy to understand why he would become depressed. There hadn't been any rain in the land, and God was sending him bread and meat by the ravens, but now all of a sudden his brook had dried up, and he's got to have water. And so God says to him, I want to send you to a strange land, to a heathen land, actually, where Baal is worshipped. And he said, I want you to conquer a false god and begin a new ministry in Baal's backyard. And so, verse 10, he arose and went to Zarephath. Now, I want you to notice the lessons of a dried-up brook to prevent your depression. First of all, God led Elijah a step at a time and not any further. A step at a time and not any further. The old songwriter said, each step I take just leads me closer home. But it's each step I take. And how true that is. So trust God for the next step and don't worry about the next one after that. Then the second lesson is God told him to go hide himself in chapter 17, before he told him to go show himself in chapter 18. See, many times we like the showing part. We like the being in the limelight and the spotlight, and people are looking at us and listening to us, and we have some leadership. That's what God was developing for Elijah. Go show yourself. But before he went to show himself, he had to hide himself. You see, there is a special ministry that God has during the hiding times of our lives. Maybe right now you're in a time of being hidden. You have no significance. You have no ministry. You feel like you have no life. It's your hidden time of life. But just remember, just as God directs you to hide yourself with him, he will open up an opportunity to show yourself to be a man or a woman or a teenager for God. Now the third lesson is, had Elijah not obeyed the Lord and gone to the brook and then to Zarephath, no provision would have come, because the verses tell us, I will feed you there in verse 4. I will feed you there in verse 9. See, it's the word there. And there's no evidence that there was anywhere else that God was going to take care of Elijah. So God has a place for you and me to live and serve him. Now, how about this brook while it was drying up, okay? Don't you know that Elijah recognized that it was drying up? Do you think he had a stick that every day he stuck it in the brook and noticed that the water level was going further down, further down, further down? But there's no evidence that Elijah ever worried when the brook was drying up. And the same thing is for you and me. When your brook dries up, spend much time listening to God. Much time. And all of his resources were unsure. He wasn't sure the ravens would come the next day, and obviously he wasn't sure that the water would keep on coming because he saw it going down. Unsure resources are designed by God. Get a piece of paper. For four purposes. Number one, to prove that God is God. Remember, I said that this was the home of Baal, the false god. And so God wanted to use unsure resources to prove that God was God. And so every day when the widow and her son and Elijah had something to eat, every day it was a testimony to prove that God was God in the land of Baal. Secondly, unsure resources are designed to further test Elijah's faith. He sent him to Zarephath. Well, the name Zarephath means refinement. And many times, God is putting us through a time of refinement, of burning away that which is refuse, that which is peripheral, not important. And it could be that you're going through that refinement time. And God has sent you there to test your faith. Because Elijah had no clue what God was going to do, but every day he saw what God would do. So to prove God to be God, to further test Elijah's faith, refinement, and thirdly, to lead him to a wider ministry. He gave him a new mission field, as it were. new people to minister to. And then lastly, number four, to lead him to use his unsure resources to reach the unsaved. See, his faith fostered faith in the widow's life. Remember, he said, go and make a cake for me, and afterwards make a cake for you and your son. So your faith becomes fostering faith in other people's lives. And my friend, as you listen to me this morning, others are watching your faith. They're watching what you're going through, and it is designed to foster faith in their hearts and lives as well. Let it be a testimony to God. See, it's okay to ask why, but it's not okay to ask, why me? This leads to personal pride and self-pity. It's okay to question the way of God, but never the wisdom of God, because God wants you to learn his ways. It was only after Paul accepted his thorn in the flesh, you remember that in 2 Corinthians? It was only after he accepted the thorn in the flesh that the power of Christ was really evident in his life and ministry, and God got the glory, and not Paul. And so consequently, the Bible tells us that the Word of God has to be our meditation. Well, we're reminded of that all throughout Psalm 119. The Word of God is our meditation. It says in verse 23, "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." And so the first principle there is don't fight back. Just meditate, because that cleanses bitterness. You may be facing some frustration and anger and bitterness. Meditate on God's Word. Stop fighting back. That's Psalm 119:23. Then Psalm 119, verse 78, tells us, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts." So he's saying, don't retaliate when you're deceived. Meditate. Don't retaliate when you've been deceived. Meditate on God's Word. Then in verse 95, the Bible goes on to say, in the same chapter, "The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies." You're intentionally getting hurt? Meditate. See, meditation on God's Word helps to prevent depression. Prevent depression. You may be involved in some kind of a ministry and you feel like God is allowing a death in your ministry. Then he's going to show up to redirect you to a new life with greater glory for himself. Remember in John 11 where Martha asked the question, "Lord, where have you been? Where were you?" See, the right question would have been, "Who are you?" Not, "Where were you?" See, that's the one who gives new life in ministry. And by the way, when Lazarus rose again from the dead, you better believe he had a greater ministry than he ever had before. And so consequently, when it seems like we're experiencing a death in whatever ministry we have, rejoice, because he's going to give you a greater ministry, greater glory, greater joy. Now, faith tested is a faith trusted. And many times pivotal circumstances introduce you to God, and it introduces God into the conversation. Philip Yancey said, "There's only one thing worse than disappointment with God, and that's disappointment without God." And how true that is. So when God opens your heart, he opens new ministries. God led George Mueller to learn to pray for his needs and the needs of the orphans to be met by God's provision and power alone. So maybe your present area of despair is translating into some area of intense prayer. Fantastic. Get desperate with God. God will become desperate with you. George Mueller's diaries have challenged millions of believers for years. Could the Lord do the same thing in and through you? Does he want to? See, God-honoring ministries are that which we all long for, but Mueller was willing to spend much time alone with the Lord, acknowledging that he had no will of his own before his prayer was offered. See, that's what God wants to teach us. When he is silent, be still and know that he is God, Psalm 46:10. Maybe he's silent because we've been too busy to listen. Or maybe he's silent because he's already said no to your prayer. Is that happening to you? See, Jonah said no to God, so God said no to his need for help. All he had to do was cry out to God. And finally, he began to do that. It's interesting. Jonah said, I will sacrifice unto thee in the whale's belly. What did he have to sacrifice? The only thing he had to sacrifice was himself. So I guess my question is, what are you willing to sacrifice to get back into God's will or stay in God's will? What are you willing to sacrifice? Because when that happens, then we get open eyes. Then we begin to see what God is trying to accomplish. Remember that story in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 14 to 20, where God had to open the eyes of the servant of God so that he could see that all the enemies of the Lord could be conquered by the angels. See, is the Lord attempting to give you heaven's perspective to your discouraging circumstances, to open your eyes and maybe the eyes of the unsaved who are watching you? See, in Psalm 1, verses 2 to 3, the Bible says, blessed is the man. You remember that? Blessed is the man in verses 2 and 3. In fact, in chapter 1, he talks about blessed is the man that is obedient. That's the godly look. Then in chapter 32, he said, blessed is the man that is forgiven. That's the inward look. Then chapter 41, blessed is the man who is compassionate. That's the manward look. See, the Psalms teach us how to be a blessed man. And when God's word becomes our central focus, then we learn how to see life from his perspective. Job learned it. David learned it. Joseph learned it. Daniel learned it. And since he's a sovereign God, when he says, this thing is from me, we can step back and be at peace. And so the problems you face will either defeat you or destroy you. It's all up to your response. Prevent depression by accepting how God uses problems in your life and ministry. Remember this. First of all, God uses problems to direct you. Then God uses problems to inspect you. Thirdly, God uses problems to correct you. Remember Psalm 119, verses 71 to 72, where the psalmist said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And then he said, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. So God uses his word to correct you. Number four, he uses problems to protect you from a greater harm later on. And lastly, God uses problems to perfect you. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He addeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. My friend, you can prevent depression by following God's word. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in an awesome way.